And if you don't believe God works, I forgot that I promised Kelly about 11 o'clock last night that I do the children's story. I'm sitting there saying, what do I do for a children's story? And you heard what happened. I did not talk to Danette about her calling for the offering, and you heard what happened. We did not tell Lucas what we were doing, and the first song was God calling us by name. Now, does anybody here believe in coincidence this morning? Amazing. I promise you, I will be finished by no later than 20 after, and then we've got some very, very, very important announcements we don't like to do, but they need to be done at the end. They fit in with the sermon. So please stay by, and then we'll do the lunch. We'll be done by 12:30, okay? So I will try to do this sermon in 5 minutes, name that sermon, okay? All right. We've been doing a series on authentic worship. And in doing that series on authentic worship, if I can find the clicker, there it is, we've talked about the importance of genuine, authentic worship. We've talked about the fact of how difficult that is in our society today. The barriers, our urban spread, we're spread out, we're overscheduled, we're distracted. We have so many fears about being authentic, about connecting with one another. We've grown up in a church, many of us, where truth and perfection were the driving force, and it harms fellowship, and it keeps us from wanting to share. We've talked about my own experience. I shared that when observing that somehow in the Adventist church, to have small groups just doesn't seem to be something that works well. And yet it's what really took place in the early church and what made the early church so authentic. We talked about the fact that we really need to ask the question, how do we maintain an authentic community in today's society? We've looked at the fact that there's so many texts, over 100, that talk about in the New Testament that we need to love one another, care for one another, carry each other's burdens, to support one another, and the list goes on. We talked about the importance of love and affirming and accepting, about the need to confess our faults to one another and to forgive. And last week, Kelly did such a wonderful job talking about the fact that an authentic community is a community that cares for each other from cradle to grave. Remember that? Today, we're going to talk about leadership and authentic community. Leadership and authentic community. You heard the scripture read, and I'm not going to reread the entire thing, but I want to go back down to the very last part. I want to go down where Jesus said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." Actually, the word is better translated slave. "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Leadership can be done one of two ways. It can be done by exercising authority and power and force, or it can be done by exercising a willingness to serve and compassion and love. And the last one is the Jesus way. What was the example of Jesus and how he led by serving? First of all, he was guided by the Spirit. Over and over again, the New Testament records, the Gospels record, that Jesus went out in the early morning hours to pray. And Desire of Ages tells us that he did that so that he might hear the Spirit speak to him about what he should do that day. So that when he came into circumstances, he was led by God's Spirit to stop what he was doing and care for that one individual. Over and over again, it tells us that Jesus did his ministry guided by the Spirit. It tells us that he led out of compassion. It was his motivation. Compassion to meet others' needs, to hear what they needed, and not to tell them what he wanted them to do as such. The example of Jesus was that he had an inclusive ministry where he served others. He served them through grace. He didn't just serve those who already belonged. He didn't just serve those that everybody thought should be served. He served all, Jew, Gentile, male, female, young, old, rich, poor, healthy, unhealthy. You name the person, and Jesus was willing to serve them. I want you to think about it for a second. Jesus left heaven as the Son of God, as the second, not second, it's not first, second, third, as a member of the Trinity. He left heaven as a member of the Godhead. He came to this earth as a servant to meet the needs. He could have come down and told everybody, look, here I am, I created you. Look, here I am, I sustain this world. You need to bow down to me. Jesus didn't do that, did he? He simply said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said to a layman, do you want to be healed? Pick up your bed and walk. He said to mothers who were concerned that their children would grow up to be loved and to be blessed by God, he said to them, listen, let the little children come. Don't keep them from me. When you look at the example of Jesus' leadership style, Jesus continually did not think of himself in the position he held. He thought of others and the needs they had. And he's still doing that from heaven above. And he calls those in the church to lead by serving too. And when I say those in the church, I'm not just talking about those with a title. Just because someone has the title of elder or deacon or even pastor doesn't mean they lead as servants. And just because someone has no title doesn't mean they can't lead as servants. You see, I want to remind you of something. The essence of discipleship is that God calls each one who claim the name of Jesus Christ to be disciples and to serve others regardless of whether they have a title or not. In this church, we do not refer to the people who lead out as officers. We refer to them as ministry leaders. We do that for a reason, because we want them to lead as they serve each other, as they serve, not from power. As you look at our mission statement, which is in the bulletin, our mission statement taken from John 15 says that we want everyone to experience God's presence. That is done through abiding on your own as you worship God daily. That is done as you meet in small groups as you worship God. That is done as we meet together, Danette, and as we fellowship together. Our mission statement says that we are to embrace the family of God. We're to care for one another, and that includes the family of God beyond this community. We're to care for one another. We're to love one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to support one another. We are to express the character of God to those who do not know him. That means we're to express his character of love. You do that when you are willing to serve others before you take care of yourself. Even if that means allowing young people to sing some music we're not familiar with. Even if that means a child running around on the platform during children's story. Even if that means some of the people who take part in the worship service are not elders, they're children, and what do they know? No. It means we all serve one another. There's a statement from Desire of Ages, page 550. Ellen White was talking about this event from our scripture reading. In the kingdoms of the world, position meant self-aggrandizement. The people were supposed to exist for the benefit of the ruling classes. Influence, wealth, education were so many means of gaining control of the masses for the use of the leaders. The higher classes were to think, decide, enjoy, and rule. The lower were to obey and serve. Religion, like all things else, was a matter of authority. People were expected to believe and practice as their superiors directed. The right of man as man to think and act for himself was wholly unrecognized. Christ was establishing a kingdom on different principles. on different principles. He called men not to authority but to service. He called men not to authority but to service, the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. Power, position, talent, education place their possessor under their greater obligation to do what? To do what? Serve his fellows. All of us, whether we acknowledge it or recognize it or not, all of us are called to lead and to serve others. You may be leading merely by your example. You may be leading by the opportunity to share. You can lead by the opportunity of being involved in serving in a variety of capacities. Jim Van Iperen, in his book Authentic Community, wrote, "Serving one another is a choice to live by the Spirit, a choice to live in community." Called to authentic community means we recognize the call upon us to be His disciples so that we can serve others as God calls us to serve. Over the next month of April and May, this church will be asking people to serve in various aspects of ministry. There's a number of people here who maybe believe that they don't have talents or abilities that God can use. I want you to know that unless you're involved in serving others, you will not grow as you could grow. It doesn't happen. We want to give you the opportunity to serve as well. There are those who've been attending church while who aren't even members of our church. We consider you part of our church family. When we vote on membership, when someone's baptized, we're just voting them into membership. God's already called them into fellowship, right? We've already accepted them into our fellowship before they're ever baptized, right? Right? All right, okay. I just want you to notice. I just want you to hear. We were called to serve. And we are going to share three ways you can serve, which is why I chose to do the announcements at the end. And they're going to come very fast, hopefully, so we can get out. But they're very meaningful, including something called a picture directory. Now, one thing, and I don't think I had a chance to... Gilbert, you're doing the directory, right? Weren't you? No? Who's doing the directory? See, we don't have Kelly here. It's her fault. Or it's Jennifer's fault. I guess I'm going to do the directory, so I'll do that now. And then Sharon Anderson's going to do something about mission trip, and then Steve about resurrection pageant. We need your help. Most of the sign-ups are done. We're working with the company to do one more time when you can shoot. We ask you to keep the ones you have. Okay, how many heard that? Keep the appointment you have. The directory will be a means of serving one another. We're going to try and get one more day, hopefully on a Sabbath afternoon. I haven't talked to somebody where you won't be asked to be buying any pictures, but we'll get somebody... I'm thinking Paul Levette. We're going to ask somebody to be here to take pictures of those who can't be here for the other, okay? So that's the directory. It's this week. Please keep your appointments. Thank you very much. Sharon, you have a message for us.
Another opportunity to serve is on our mission trip. July 12 to 23, we will be going to Guyana. I actually have 12 seats that are not filled yet, and I desperately need some muscle. I need some more men that can move those block. And so give it some consideration. If this is something you can do, it's a life-changing experience and a wonderful chance to experience the joy of service. I would like to hear from you this week if possible, because I have to let go of rooms in the lodge and all if I'm not going to be able to fill them. So pray about this, and we would love to have you join us.
Here at the Corona Church, we have you covered A to Z, Anderson to Zurich. So here we go. April the 15th. It's not tax day this year. It is Easter. And we are going to be doing our Easter pageant on April the 15th. As a matter of fact, the pastors gave me this. This was given to our, or someone wrote on our website, this message: are you guys having the Easter program this year? I don't see the advertisement for it. Why is, I thought I would ask. This is a way for us to serve our community. And so I urge you and ask you to participate. We need many, many bodies for this pageant to take place. As it stated last week in the bulletin, as it states this week in the bulletin, we are only going to practice four times as we did last year. We will be doing Acts 1 to 6 on March the 25th, and we will be doing Acts 7 through 11 on April the 1st, and no, that is not April Fool's. And then on Friday, April the 7th, we will be doing it from start to finish. And then on April the 14th will be our formal dress rehearsal, where we will have our lights here and everything else. And so please, we encourage you and ask you, we need your help to serve our community, to provide this pageant of the wonders of Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, and his soon return. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we want this church to be an authentic place, an authentic community where grace is abundant, where forgiveness is abundant. Father, give each and one of us hearts of a servant to serve one another, to serve our community. And so, Father, go with us now. May we be an influence to our circle of influence this week. And may the peace and grace of Jesus go with us always. Amen.